Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. It's great to have you tuning in again for your daily shot of what matters in the world of cybersecurity.
Good morning. Yeah, we've got quite a mix today. We're touching on mobile security, some deep hardware stuff, and even, you know, those tricky ways criminals try to fool us online.
Exactly. We're diving into three stories that, well, they definitely caught our eye. First up, some big security boosts coming to Android. Then, a pretty surprising vulnerability in a whole lot of Intel chips.
Right.
And finally, a really kind of sneaky attempt to slip malware onto college devices using, well, something you see every day.
It's a good snapshot, isn't it? Security efforts happening at, like, all levels. OS, silicon, user interaction.
Okay, so let's kick things off with story number one, our phones. Android 16 is coming, and Google's talking up this new advanced protection feature. This sounds like more than just locking down your Google account, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So you know Google's existing advanced protection program. That's mostly about your account in the cloud.
Right, for high-risk users mainly.
Exactly. This new thing in Android 16, this is about bringing that kind of intense security focus directly onto the phone itself, like building fortress walls right around the device.
Which feels pretty necessary, honestly, with all the sophisticated spyware threats we hear about. I saw comparisons to Apple's lockdown mode.
That's definitely the comparison they're inviting. It's positioned as that same kind of, you know, top tier, high security setting, really for people who might be specifically targeted, but the tech benefits everyone eventually. It shows Google serious about hardening the actual device.
So, okay, let's say you flick the switch for advanced protection.
Mm-hmm.
What changes? Sounds like a lot happens under the hood.
It is, yeah. It's pretty comprehensive. For instance, it really focuses on boot security, making sure the phone starts clean, verified state, and it keeps checking the system integrity while it's running.
Like a constant checkup.
Sort of, yeah. A constant integrity seal, almost. And it tightens app sandboxing significantly.
Meaning apps are more isolated?
Much more isolated. So if one app gets compromised, hopefully the damage is contained, doesn't spread easily. They're also locking down the USB port, which can be an attack vector sometimes.
Okay.
And just generally enhancing the isolation between apps. Plus, there's this interesting reboot feature.
Yeah, I saw that. It reboots if it's idle for 72 hours. That sounds a bit odd.
It does sound a bit odd, but there's a logic. It's designed to disrupt any persistent malware that might be lurking in memory. You know, things that try to stay hidden for long periods. A forced restart can kick them out.
Huh. Okay. Makes sense from that angle. Hmm. What else is in this protection package?
Well, Google Play Protect the App Scanner gets beefed up scanning capabilities. And crucially, this mode makes it really, really difficult, almost impossible for either you or malware to just turn off the key security settings.
So the protections actually stay on.
Exactly. Ensures the defenses remain active. And this enhanced security posture, it applies to Google's own apps, Chrome, Messages, Phone, and it's built so third-party app developers can plug into it too, adopting these stricter rules.
Okay, that sounds pretty robust. And what about this intrusion logging thing? That sounds potentially really useful if you think something's gone wrong.
It's quite neat, actually. It keeps a secure log of certain system events that might suggest a compromise. But the clever bit is how it does it. It's designed to be privacy preserving, so it's not just hoovering up your data.
Right.
It's tamper-proof, so malware can't just delete the evidence. It's stored securely in the cloud, end-to-end encrypted. And this is key. You, the user, can actually access these logs to investigate if you suspect something's up.
Wow. Okay. That's like giving users their own black box recorder, but secure
right.
And private. What about Wi-Fi? We all jump on public networks sometimes.
Yeah, they're tackling that risk too. Advanced protection will stop your phone from automatically reconnecting to known insecure Wi-Fi networks, specifically open networks with no password, or ones still using that really old broken WEP encryption.
Good. Helps avoid eavesdropping on those dodgy networks.
Definitely. Protects against man-in-the-middle stuff too.
Now, it's worth remembering, I guess, that not every single one of these features might land on every single Android phone at the same time, right? Depends on the manufacturer.
That's always the case with Android, yeah. Manufacturers do their own tweaks, so rollouts can vary. The device model matters, too. But the core advanced protection framework should be the baseline they're aiming for.
And it's not just this big advanced protection mode. It sounds like Android 16 has other sort of general security and privacy upgrades, too, especially around scams.
Absolutely. They're adding something called in-call scam protections. The idea here is to block you from doing risky things while you're on a call with an unknown number.
Like what kind of risky thing?
Things like sideloading an app, installing an APK from outside the Play Store, or granting really powerful accessibility permissions, or even disabling Play Protect, things a scammer might try to talk you into doing over the phone.
Oh, that's smart, because the social engineering calls are relentless.
They really are. And they're looking at text messages too, with a feature called Key Verifier in Google Messages.
Okay, what's that?
It basically lets you verify your contact's identity using public keys. You can scan a QR code or compare a number sequence to be more sure you're actually texting who you think you're texting. It's a move against text scams and, importantly, SIM swap attacks.
Ah, okay. A digital handshake to prove it's really them.
Sort of, yeah. And beyond that, the actual messages and phone apps are getting smarter AI to spot scam patterns.
Like what kind of patterns?
Things related to fake toll road fees, weird billing issues, crypto scams, bank impersonations, gift card or prize scams, those annoying tech support scams,
Yeah.
the usual suspects.
A built-in scam detector. Nice. And Find My Device is getting an upgrade too.
Yeah, it's becoming FindHub, expanding beyond just phones to track items with Bluetooth tags, helping find lost luggage via airline partnerships, and they're even planning satellite connectivity down the line for finding stuff way off the grid.
So the big picture for Android 16 seems to be Google really doubling down on baking strong security right into the OS. Good news for everyone, really.
Definitely. Making robust security less of an add-on and more of a fundamental part of the platform.
All right, let's switch gears now from the software layer down to the bare metal, the CPU. There's news about a flaw in Intel chips, something called branch privilege injection.
That's the one, yes, CVE 2024-45332. And this is pretty widespread. It affects basically all modern Intel CPUs from the ninth generation, Coffee Lake, Comet Lake, Rocket Lake, Alder Lake, Raptor Lake, and maybe even bits of it going back to the seventh gen Kaby Lake. So a lot of machines out there.
Okay, so what's the actual problem? It's something to do with predicting instructions.
Exactly. It's deep in how the CPU tries to speed things up using branch prediction. You've got these components, the branch target buffer, BTB, and the indirect branch predictor, IBP. Their job is to guess what the code's going to do next, which path it'll take at a junction.
To keep the processing pipeline full, right?
Yeah,
Performance boost.
precisely. But the researchers at ETH Zurich found a tiny timing gap, a race condition. Updates to these predictors aren't perfectly synchronized with when the instructions actually run.
Okay.
And crucially, this desynchronization can happen across privilege boundaries. So a prediction made when the CPU is running regular user code low privilege can sort of leak into or influence a prediction made moments later when it switches to run high privilege kernel code.
Whoa. So, like, a normal app could potentially influence how the operating system's core behaves just for a split second.
That's the essence of it. And the danger is that this influence can be exploited. A non-privileged user, or malicious software running as one, could potentially trick the kernel into speculatively accessing sensitive data it shouldn't normally touch.
And then leak it, like passwords, keys.
Exactly. Passwords, crypto keys, maybe data from other processes, kernel memory, the kind of stuff that's supposed to be highly protected.
That sounds serious. Did the researchers actually manage to pull data out?
They did. They built an exploit. It involved carefully training the branch predictor, then making a system call to trigger the switch to kernel mode. In that speculative execution window, the kernel accesses the secret data based on the manipulated prediction.
And how do they get the data out?
Through a side channel. By measuring tiny timing variations in how the CPU accesses memory afterwards, they could deduce the secret data bit by bit. They showed it working on Ubuntu 24.404, reading the etc shadow file, the hashed password file.
Oof, okay.
Yeah, they got a leak rate of like 5.6 kilobytes per second at peak, with high accuracy, even with standard Linux defenses on.
Are other chip makers affected? AMD ARM.
Well, the researchers looked at ARM Cortex X1 A76 and AMD's Zen 4 and Zen 5. Currently, they don't believe those are vulnerable to this specific issue. It seems tied to how Intel's predictors work.
And even though they showed it on Linux, because it's a hardware bug, Windows could be vulnerable too.
Theoretically, yes. The flaw is in the silicon itself, so any OS running on affected Intel hardware could be susceptible, though the exploit details might need to change.
So what's the fix? Microcode updates from Intel.
Yes, Intel has released microcode updates. These aim to basically improve that synchronization, close that timing window the exploit relies on.
Right. Is there a performance hit? These low-level fixes often have one.
Unfortunately, yeah, there usually is. Intel's figures suggest the firmware mitigation, the microcode itself, costs about 2.7% performance. Operating systems can also add software mitigations, but those can be significantly heavier, maybe 1.6% up to over 8% impact, depending on the CPU and what it's doing.
Right, that classic security versus speed trade-off.
Yeah.
So for the average person listening, how worried should they be right now?
You know, the researchers themselves and Intel are saying the immediate risk for typical users is probably low. It takes specific conditions, local access, and it's quite complex to exploit reliably.
Okay.
But the advice is still definitely apply updates. Keep your OS patched, and crucially, look out for BIOS or UEFI updates from your PC or motherboard maker, because that's how the Intel microcode updates usually get delivered.
Good advice.
Yeah.
So it's a potent reminder that even the foundations, the hardware itself, can have these hidden vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
Constant vigilance needed.
Absolutely. It underscores why security research at this deep level is so important, finding these things before they're potentially exploited more widely.
Okay, let's move to our third story. This one takes us away from the hardware guts and back to the web, specifically to a site many students use, iClicker, and involves a fake, CAPTCHA.
Yeah, this was a clever bit of social engineering, really. iClicker, as you said, is huge in U.S. colleges. Attendance, polls, quizzes, lots of students and instructors use it.
And for a few days in April, April 12th to 16th specifically, visitors to their website might have seen a fake I'm not a robot checkbox.
Exactly. It looked just like the real Google Recap TCHA, or similar ones. Very familiar. But clicking this fake one did something entirely different.
How did it do?
It didn't verify anything. Instead, it silently copied a PowerShell script onto the user's Windows clipboard.
Ooh, okay. Without the user knowing.
Correct. Then, the fake CAPTCHA box displayed instructions. It told the user to open the Run dialog box, you know, Windows key plus R,
right.
Then paste using Curl plus V, and hit Enter. All supposedly to verify they weren't a robot.
And if you follow that, you're basically running unknown code directly from the clipboard. Classic trick, playing on that muscle memory of dealing with CAPTCHA.
Textbook social engineering. And that first PowerShell script, it was heavily obfuscated, hard to read, but its main job was just to reach out to a remote server and download a second PowerShell script.
Okay, why the two stages?
Seems like it was for targeting and evasion. The content of that second script apparently varied depending on who was visiting.
Ah, so you could tell if it was maybe in a security sandbox or on a real potential victim's machine.
That looks like the goal, yeah.
Yeah.
If it thought it was on a target machine, likely a student or instructor, it would download actual malware, designed to give the attackers significant control or access. But if it detected a sandbox or an analysis environment,
it would do something harmless.
Pretty much. It would download and run the legitimate Microsoft Visual C++ redistributable installer. Makes the activity look benign if it's being watched.
Clever. Do we know what the actual malware payload was for the real victims?
The specifics aren't fully confirmed from this incident, but this attack method, sometimes called clickfix, has been seen before, and typically the payload is an info stealer.
Meaning it steals
credentials, browser cookies, saved passwords, crypto wallet files, browsing history, maybe scans for sensitive documents, that kind of thing.
So the goal here could have been stealing university logins, maybe, to attack the college network later.
That's a very strong possibility. University credentials are gold for attackers. Gives them a foothold inside potentially valuable networks.
Now, iClicker's response. I heard it was a bit slow, and they initially tried to hide their security notice from search engines.
Yeah, that wasn't a great look. They used a Noindex tag on their bulletin initially, which made it hard to find. They did eventually put out a statement saying only the landing page was affected, no actual iClicker data or apps were compromised, and the vulnerability was fixed.
And they did recommend anyone who clicked that fake CAPTCHA during those dates run security software.
Yes, absolutely. Standard good advice. Scan your system thoroughly.
And if someone did fall for it, pasted and ran that script, what should they do?
Immediately change your iClicker password, for sure. But more importantly, change all your other important passwords, especially if you reuse them. Assume anything stored on that computer could have been compromised. This is where a password manager is invaluable. Generate unique, strong passwords for everything.
Right. But it's worth stressing, if you only use the iClicker mobile app, or you visited the site but didn't click and run that fake CAPTCHA step, you weren't affected by this particular attack.
Correct. This was specifically about interacting with that malicious element on their website during that window.
So the big takeaway from this iClicker story, It's just how effective simple-looking social engineering can be, right? Taking something totally routine like a Cappy TCHA and weaponizing it.
Exactly. It really drives home the need for constant vigilance. Think before you click. Think before you follow unusual instructions, even if they seem related to a familiar process. Be skeptical.
Well, that wraps up our three stories for today. Quite a tour from deep inside the CPU through the operating system, right up to the websites we visit.
It really shows how security is this multi-layered, constantly shifting thing, doesn't it? New defenses pop up, but new threats and attack methods emerge right alongside them.
Hopefully this deep dive gave you, our listeners, a clearer picture of some of these key developments and, you know, what they might mean for your own digital safety.
Yeah, whether it's Android getting tougher, finding fundamental flaws in hardware we've used for years, or seeing criminals get creative with things like Cappy TCHAs, it all points to the need to stay informed and proactive.
So what's the bottom line for you listening? I think it reinforces that need for layered security, right? Don't just rely on one thing. Keep everything updated, OS, apps, even your computer's firmware, as we saw with the Intel issue.
Absolutely. Timely updates are critical.
And maybe most importantly, as that iClicker case showed, always bring a healthy dose of skepticism to unexpected online prompts. Even the simple stuff.
Couldn't agree more. That critical thinking, that moment of pause before clicking or acting, it's one of your best defenses.
We really encourage you to think about these stories and consider, you know, are there any small steps you can take today to boost your own digital defenses? Thanks so much for joining us on Cyber Mornings Daily.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
We'll be back tomorrow with more insights to help you navigate the cybersecurity world.